My name is Jeremy. I'm an elder here. I know I don't look like that as far as age-wise or anything, but I love being able to be in front of the church to share something that I'm going to share with you. Humility. This is a body that we can be completely comfortable in our skin of who God's made us to be. I don't have to come to you guys and put on a show or really think about all the speaker nuances and things I should say. And so it's fun to be able to come to you guys and just be authentic and real and share things that are, that I feel like God has put on our heart as a church for specifically for today. This really is a message for today. And I'm going to tell you something, and being authentic and real, that has hit me over the last few weeks. I don't really know Jesus. Like, it's really hit me. I know Jesus. I mean, like, he has saved me. I was 13 years old at Falls Creek Baptist camps, if you guys have been there, and I met Jesus. Like, I really had a salvation experience. But I don't really know who he is. Like, I don't know, I know who he is in my quiet time, and I know who he has been in my mind, but in the scriptures lately, I've been reading Luke, been hanging out there. I don't know what he thinks like, how he acts. And I'll tell you, mainly as a Judeo-Christian, white, Anglo-American who grew up at Sunday school listening to stories about Jesus in a dank Sunday school room, you know, that smell of cinder block, you know, and like it's kind of damp in there and a little moldy kind of smell. And I had great Sunday school teachers, but they told me what Jesus did. But I don't know if I ever understood who he was. Does that make sense? So, like, I know a lot about what Jesus did, but I don't know if I could explain to you. Like, I can tell you guys what Lance is like, and I can tell you what he does, but I can tell you what he's like because I get to spend time with him, and we've been friends for a long time, and I know who he is. I know how he'll respond to things. I know how he treats people. Well, with Jesus, I'm just realizing after all these years knowing him, I don't really know him. And I'm in a season where I'm just asking God, show me, Jesus, show me who you really are. Show me what you'll act like. Show me what you would do in this situation. How do you respond to people? Now, conversely, here's the thing. Guess what? He knows us. It's not the same case for him. I don't really know him, but he knows a lot about me. He knows me inside and out. He knows how many hairs on my head. He knows that I have a lot falling out every day. He knows that he knows everything about my history, everything about my current state, and everything about my future. He knew me before I was in my mother's womb. He knew he knows that I have my name in the book of life. He knows lots about me, and he knows lots about you guys. But I'm just waking up. I'm really waking up to who Jesus really is and how that's going to play out in our daily life. Does that make sense? Anyone else relate to that? All right, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask for a little demographic survey, a little demographic study here. We're going to see if it's true that he really knows who you are. All right? All right, if you are, this is, you participate. If you stand up with me whenever I tell you to stand up for certain things, if you are over 25 years old, stand up. All right? If you are, now he knows everyone over 25. All right, I just want you to know that. If you are over 30, stand up. All right, we're going to jump 10 years. Over 40, stand up. I know, I won't go further. He knows everyone who's over 40. All right, he knows your needs. He knows what your he knows your past. He knows your future. As I know, I won't go any further. I promise. Especially if I said, "Okay, now women, if you're over," no. Okay, sit down. If you are under 25, stand up. All right. Just a demographic study of our church, of Bridgeway. All right. If you're married, sit down. All right. So he knows you guys. He knows everyone is standing up very, very well. Very well. All right, if you're in high school, keep standing up. If you're in college, sit down. So if you're in high school, or there you are. All right. He knows you guys, and he knows your needs. He knows your future. He knows what you need before you know what you need, and he's going to take care of you. Okay, you guys can sit down. Thanks. If you're a Czechoslovakian, stand up. Czechoslovakian, are you? All right, anyone else? Yes. My people. We're together. Let's meet. We're going to be meeting over here on the right side. Later. My point is, it doesn't matter where you came from, who you are, whether you are a minority, whether you have been divorced, whether you have a family full of kids, he knows your needs. Jesus really, truly does. And I'm going to show you that today. I'm going to show you how specifically he knows and cares for us today. Thanks for that survey. Hopefully someone was counting for us so we'd have can email that back out. Okay, I've got to read this because I asked God, I just prayed this week, what do you want to say to us, Jesus? What do you want to say? And I really do feel, this is bold to even say this. I feel like I know what Jesus was saying for you and me for this week, but I wrote it down. So I want you to hear this. I believe that Jesus was saying to us, Bridgeway Church, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because I am the same forever, I want you to understand me for who I really am so that you'll be like me in the today. I want you to allow me to be me through you for the benefit of everyone around you so that those I touch through you might give God praise by saying, God has come to help his people. He's looking out for the needs of his people. That makes sense? Did you grasp that? I know it's hard because I'm reading it. What I felt like Jesus was saying was, let me be who I really am through you in your today. Because when we're in Christ, we've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. So let me, Bridgeway, live in you the way that I truly am, not what you think that I am. And in that, for the benefit of everyone around you. Hebrews 13:8. Anyone know that verse offhand? Want to stand up and say it? It's Bible drill time. Hebrews 13:8. Someone can say it. Just jump up and say it. What's that? I am the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. In the Message Bible, for Jesus doesn't change yesterday, today, or tomorrow. He's always totally himself. Okay, so here's the deal. If that's true, think logically with me. If it's true that Jesus is the same today and yesterday and forever, then we should be able to look at one picture of him in context. Does that make sense? Should be able to look at the Bible and a Bible story in a context and should be able to say, okay, if that's how he was at that period of time, then it's exactly how he was at the beginning of time, and it's exactly the way that he'll be forever and ever and ever. Is that fun? So right there, you've got a look at who Jesus is, and it will never change. Then if it's the case, and we're just going to apply it to our current life, our everyday life. So the passage that we're going to do that in is going to be Luke 7, 11 through 16, if you want to turn there. And Dave, you can put this up here in a second, and we'll read it. But here's the deal. If that's true, then we're going to be wowed. Our perspective will change. The way that we view Jesus will start to change if it's true that the way that what we read is what he is like and how it is in our daily life. So, okay. We're going to pop this up. Here's the story. Luke 7, 11 through 17. I'm going to read it and then we'll go into it. Soon afterwards, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. And as he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And the dead man sat up and began to talk. And Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. That's it. That's the story. So we're going to go through that. If that's true about Jesus, and there's a lot of detail that we're going to unpack, if that's true yesterday and it's true for forever, then it's going to be true for today. And then I'll just show you how. Okay. So the story is this. There's some characters in the story. And I know we kind of read that really quickly, but the characters, a good story has characters, right? And you got to unpack those characters and got to know a little bit about them. Well, there was the widow in the story. And by the way, this was not a parable. This was a true story. This really happened. There was a widow, and there was a son who was dead, and there was Jesus, and there was disciples with him, and there was pallbearers, and there was the crowd. Okay, that's all the characters that we know. So with every one of those people, there were certain things that happened. Okay, so we're going to just break those down and go through them. Now, here's the deal. Jesus was coming with his disciples from a certain place. They had just come from Capernaum. They had been, and they had just seen some healings, and they had just seen really the faith of a centurion Roman soldier. Now, the crazy part about this and this timing when I've been preparing this was all the stuff that's been going on. Have you guys been keeping up with the Hezbollah, the fighting that's going on in Lebanon? Well, let me just tell you real quickly. I mean, that has been going on forever, and there's so much history that's going on. And where we're talking about right now is not that far from where the fighting is currently going on. But from the very beginning, really, it's been just an embattled area of land and territory. Well, here's the deal. When I read this story, Jesus was in the midst of really I don't know how to say it. The Romans were basically had taken over their land. The Romans had invaded their land, and so the Jews were living with basically dictators over them. And so here it is that Jesus was in Capernaum, and he had met the centurion. So you had a Roman soldier that was really despised by the Jews. I mean, can you imagine if right now, if let's just say, just for fun, the Canadians took us over, right? I know that's so wild, so maybe I'll say Russians, because we could probably picture it from the Cold War a little bit better, you know, Red Dawn, that whole thing when that came out. But we had the Russians who had taken over our land, and we're still living here, but we had to do their laws, their ways, but we've never known that as a country. We're one of the few countries who have not known that. And so because of that, just imagine the tension that you would have and the hatred that you would have towards your captors. Well, that was the same way here in this time period. And so Jesus just was approached by this Roman. And all the Jewish leaders said, "Hey, this Roman's a good one. This is a good Roman. He takes care of the Jewish people. Just listen to him." And basically the Roman said, "Listen, would you heal my servant?" I believe that was the servant. And in the case of this officer, he said, "Look, I'm an officer. I understand obedience. Just say the word, and it will happen." And Jesus basically said, "Oh my goodness, I've not seen any faith in Israel, but this Roman centurion has the faith. He gets it." And he's making a point to everybody. He gets it, right? My point in this is that it was just a really tough period of time. And if you go through and look where Jesus walked, he never really went to the cities. I mean, he went to Jerusalem, but he wasn't in the big cities. And if you think about if Jesus came at this period of time, wouldn't you think he'd spend most of his time at New York City or Washington or L.A. or, I mean, tons of people just to impact him? The reality is he spent most of his time in Hera and Meeker and even like Cashin. And he impacted people there. so that the people in the big cities thought, who's this hick? Who's this farmer going around and I'm like, what does he have to say? He's not from the city. And so because of that, it really caused a strange view of him. Not only was he was saying things with authority. Jesus went around the country and he was saying authoritative things coming from a very small town. So it would be the same way from, I mean, give me a town. What's a really small town? And just raise your hand and say, I'm from so-and-so with pride. Bing! Oklahoma. Is that Johnny Bench? Was he from Bing? Binger, sorry. Sorry. See, I was trying to look for something. Basketball. Bing basketball? Baseball, okay, yeah. So you see what I mean? The same thing happened at these towns. Bing. So it would be like Jesus was from Bing, Oklahoma, coming into Oklahoma City, right? Well, Nazareth was not that big of a place, and he spent most of his time in these small towns. He goes to the village of Nain, and it's called Nine, and it's not very big. It's smaller than Nazareth. So he basically, it'd be like Nazareth would be, let's see, maybe a Choctaw, and Nain would be Jones, all right? I'm trying to give relevance here. Just a small town. Well, my deal is, why was he going there? Was he going just to refuel, just to go get some food, sleep somewhere? I don't know. I would love to know more detail of why he went on the paths when he did. But, I'll say that Jesus was so present that it didn't really matter. He was so present, he didn't really have to have a plan, a glory plan, of, okay, I'm going to go to this city and influence those leaders in this city. He just went, and everywhere he went, he was exactly the same everywhere. It didn't matter if he was in a small town or a large town. We've got I wouldn't go there. I'm just going to say a person's name that was close to that. So the city, so picture this. It sounded like it kind of had a gate. So I'm trying to picture it. If it had a gate, it must have a wall to the city. And coming out of the city was a funeral procession. And the Jews buried people out of the city. There was no room in town, So there was a burial plot or land. So they moved out of the city. Jesus was coming into the city. Well, the disciples, it sounds like, just from reading, they were probably filled with faith, excitement. They're like, wow, man, this is great. This is awesome. Look what's going on. And they're with Jesus. So you can just imagine being with Jesus, walking somewhere would be fun and exciting. So in the process, they're walking in excited, filled with joy, and coming out of the city is sorrow. So let's go into the story a little bit more. Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. The crowd was just those who were just like, who is this man? I have to figure out who this man was. As he approached the town gate, so he's coming into it, a dead person was being carried out of it. And the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. Okay, now, it's really important, just like Reiner did last week, of really getting into unpacking the emotions of the story of the person. We got to go into it. Think of this. It's a widow. So what has had to have happened? She lost her husband. Who knows how long ago? But it was very fresh in her mind. Everything was fresh because of what just happened to her son. So here's this woman. And I don't know if she's dressed in black, but you can just think in her mourning clothes, however they dress at that point in time, her head down, weeping uncontrollably, and she's walking, and her son is in this coffin. And this son was really her crutch. I mean, can you imagine if you're a widow, then you think, well, at least I have my son. Well, that at least is gone. There's nothing else. And in her mind, just feel emotions of this woman just weeping completely. And she has her hand on her coffin as she's walking down, and she's going to go lay her son right next to where she lays her husband, right in the ground, and they're right next to each other. And all she has is memories, and those memories are starting to come in her mind. And all she can feel is just complete weeping that she can't control herself and her actions, and she doesn't care what people think. She's just weeping. She's completely sorrowful, and all the crowd, knowing full well of what this woman has gone through once and is going through again, is completely giving themselves over to her and probably just completely weeping with her and just loving on her as much as possible. And you can hear the mourning, the wailing that would go on. Do you feel the weight of that? Do you understand that this is not just words that you just skim right through, but there's emotions in every word in the Bible? There's emotions and feelings that go along with every word in Scripture. And a large crowd from the town was with her. Okay. Now, what they don't know is who's coming into the town that day. They don't know the caravan that's about to meet them. And so as all their heads are down in sorrow and in mourning and in wailing and in anxiety and frustration and in anger and confusion, in coming is joy, hope, light, fulfillment of destiny. Life is coming in the town with their head up, who have just experienced faith. And at the head of that is a man named Jesus, the Son of God, the Word of God, the one who in the flesh has come to bring life. And when the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said this. He said, "Don't cry, don't cry." And I can just picture them just meeting and the funeral procession just stopping because of this big throng of people on the road, and they can't get by one another. But Jesus looks at the woman, and he notices what he does. He looks at the woman, not at the situation. He goes directly to the individual need of the person. So such a degree that he looks in the woman's eyes and into her soul, and he says, "Don't cry." He doesn't say it like, "Don't cry, you're bothering me," or "Don't cry, I'm like, come on." He says it with compassion of like, "Oh, I completely feel what you're feeling. Don't worry, don't worry. All this is going to be good. Everything's going to turn around in just in a second. Just wait. Don't cry." And the King of the universe shows his compassion in an unbelievable way. I mean, think about this. He is the leader. He is the ruler of the world. Can you think of other rulers who would even care about this woman? Can you think of the ruler of ruler of Russia or any other large country that would actually come and stop and say, "Don't cry," and completely go to that woman? It shows the way that God flips everything upside down. And he goes directly to the point and says, "Don't cry." And then he goes up in typical Jesus authority and love, and he touches the coffin. So he puts his hand on the coffin and he just basically stops it. And these pallbearers are just, can you imagine how weird that would be? Like, "What are you doing, man? You don't know what you're doing. Do you know what she's gone through?" And Jesus touches the coffin and they're all just dumbfounded. And he says, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And they're like, "What are you talking about?" He says, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And the young man, the dead man, he sets up and begins to talk. But could you just imagine if you'd be there to see that? What in the world? So the young man raises up, and I mean, here's the other part of the story. I can't imagine what that's like, but he's like, "What's going on? What are you guys doing? Where am I at?" You know, this dead man's up there like, "What is going on?" Total confusion. No wonder, I mean, what he's saying, but he's the only one that's not real shocked. He's like, he's just been asleep. But Jesus takes him. He pulls him down. I mean, I don't know this per se, but it says he gave him back to his mother. So all I can say is that he actually reached up and took the dead man, pulls him down, and gives him back to his mother. And can you just imagine what you would feel like if you're this mother? Just like, what just happened? And all of a sudden, it says this. They were all filled with awe. And they praised God. Could you imagine, though, what the awe is? The awe is probably just dumbfounded. Like, what? Do you realize what just happened? And then all of a sudden, can you imagine the momentum and the momentous buildup? That all of a sudden they started dancing, and guess where the coffin was? Thrown in the ditch. Just discarded out of the way because it's in the way of life. And so they threw the coffin solely into the grave and the ditch so that they could celebrate the life of the dead man who is now alive. Isn't that amazing? It's an unbelievable 6-7 verses. And they said this, "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said, and they were celebrating, and they were just unbelievable joy. And they said, "God has come to help his people." God has come to help his people. Yes, he has come to help us. Yes. Do you see how cool it was? They basically said he's a great prophet, yes, but guess who got the glory? God got the glory because he has come to help the people. It wasn't just about the boy. It was about the people. If God can do that to the son, imagine what he can do to me. Imagine what he can do to you and our community and our village of Nain, they were saying. If he can do this, he has come to help us. Do you get the weight of that? Man, how cool is that? How unbelievable. What a story. And guess what? This news about Jesus spread through the entire region of Judea and the surrounding country. Well, it spread through Judea. Just so you know, they're in Galilee. So this is Galilee all the way down to the Jordan River, all the way down to Judea where Jerusalem is, and even below that. That was Judea in that area. So it basically spread throughout the whole country, if you will, and the surrounding areas. That one story. Now, how many stories like that did Jesus do? He healed Lazarus. He healed a little girl. He healed lots of people with eyes. So can you imagine all the stories about Jesus spreading throughout everywhere? Which is another great example of the Word of God and how it spreads. So here's what, let me go through some detail now. That's the story. Just what I take away from that. And here's how you, by the way, this is how you meditate on the Word of God. I've spent about 2.5 weeks in this chapter, in that word, just asking God questions, just unpacking it, trying to feel. I asked one night, "God, would you show me what this widow filled? Would you tell me what you were trying to accomplish here? Would you?" I'm just asking questions. Okay, so I'm just simplifying it. Spend time in his word. Take small chapters and ask questions to God. Go deeper. Dig as far as you can go. And so I asked questions. I noticed things. Notice the sorrow coming out of the town and the joy coming into the town. But guess what wins? Jesus always wins. He always overrides burdens and anxiety and sin. He always overrides darkness with his light. And it always brings peace. Notice Jesus' attention to pain. Again, I go back to the dank cinder block Sunday school room. I know what he did, but I didn't know how he would act. I couldn't picture who he was. What I realized was all the pictures, you know, even when I watch a video, like some old Jesus, it was like he was always in white, and he was always walking through real dirty areas in a white robe, you know, and it was always yes, I have come. You know, it's just like, I have come here in a very monotone voice. Man, that's not Jesus. That's not the picture of him. Who he was a man who was not afraid to cry for a widow. He was not afraid to laugh. He was not afraid to flip over a cart in righteous anger. He was an emotional human being who is very, very real in our two-day life. I noticed Jesus' action. Usually when he healed, he would have an action, whether he'd said it or put his hand on it or touch someone's eyes. And I also noticed the crowd's response. And the questions that I have were this. Can the dead be raised? Can the dead be raised? Okay, now that's a question that you have to actually ask. This, and by the way, today is not necessarily, I'm not talking, the theme is not healing. The theme is a run-in with Jesus and an encounter with Jesus. That whatever, whenever you run into Jesus, something changes. Whenever you encounter him in a fresh way, your life is altered and changes. But can the dead be raised? That's a question that I have. Well, yesterday it happened. I believe the story is true. I believe the story of Lazarus is true. And the little girl, and ultimately, Jesus himself being raised from the dead. Does Jesus feel our pain? Okay, this is a question for you. Does Jesus feel our pain? Now, I want you to answer this question to yourself. I'm going to ask it again. Does Jesus feel your pain? Take a second and answer that in your mind. If he felt the pain of the widow, can he and does he feel your pain? Some of you are really mad at yourself. You're just shameful. You think yourself is so shameful for the things that happened yesterday or Friday or Thursday night. And you're really upset with yourself and you can't imagine how God would show mercy on what happened. Some of you are so bitter and frustrated because you don't feel like you're receiving the attention that you deserve, or you don't feel that you have any respect. Can Jesus feel that pain? Some of you are still living in woundedness and you can't seem to get over it. Does Jesus feel that pain? Some of you are just lifeless. You're just dull. You can't seem to wake up. And everything that I'm even saying today kind of resonates, but it kind of goes out really quickly. Does Jesus feel that pain? Does he desire, now answer this question, if you think he does he desire to heal your brokenness? Does he desire to heal your emotions and your body? Some of you have physical ailments that are pain. We talked in our leaders' prayer this morning of headaches. Some of you have headaches that you just can't get rid of. Does God desire to heal your physical ailments? And ultimately, has God come to help his people? Like, these are the questions that you should be asking, that I was asking after reading this. Has God come to help his people? Yes or no? Yes, I think we'd all say, well, sure he did. He came on the cross 2,000 years ago in Jerusalem. Yeah. And we go through and rattle off the basics. I'm talking about today. Has God come to help his people still today? And by the way, we were not left for just 2,000 years ago and then we're just waiting for Jesus to come back. No. Jesus is actively working today. He will be actively working at 1 o'clock today. When you leave here and you've kind of checked out and you go and read the paper or lay on the couch and rest, I'm not putting those down, he's still working. He's still advancing his kingdom. All right? This is not an inactive period of time we're in. It's a very active period of time. So if God has come to help his people, is the word spreading? Yeah, the word is spreading. The word is spreading. Now, here's a couple more things that I notice. When Jesus touches, when he heals, when he touches people, what happens? I went through the scripture and I found this. Anticipation rises. When you were around Jesus, did you know that most of Jesus was always leaving people who wanted to get healed because there were so many that he couldn't do it all? So he said, I've got to spread the gospel. Then he'd go to another town and more people would come. And he'd go to another place and more people would come. Anticipations rose because of who Jesus was. Two, when Jesus touches, people are healed. That's it. When Jesus touches, people are healed. Remember the woman who touched the hem of his robe? She was healed just by touching him. When Jesus is around, people are healed. Emotions soar with gratefulness. Faith in God is restored. And ultimately, people live. People come alive. Now, this is so fascinating. I hope you get what God has been putting in me today. If it is true, then, that what we just read, that Luke 7 is true, that all those things happened. And it is also true that he is the same yesterday and forever. Is it true today? So let me go through and tell you what happened. So right after this story happened, John the Baptist, and Lance had mentioned this a few weeks back, but John the Baptist's disciples came to him and said, "Hey, is it true? Are you the one that we, are you the Messiah?" And Jesus tells them this. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." Tell them that. That's who Jesus was. So if that's true, and we know that it literally happened yesterday, and yesterday I mean in the story here, right, in the past. If that literally happened, then does it happen today? Question, how do the blind see? 2, shouldn't the lame walk today? Are lepers cleansed today? Do the deaf hear? Are the dead raised? Is the good news preached to the poor? Because what we know is forever it's going to happen, and we know it happened yesterday. And let me tell you, in Revelation 22, this is literal, there will be no darkness. Jesus is the lamp. He's the light, and everyone will be able to see. The blind will see. So we know it'll happen in the future. 2, there'll be no more pain. The lame, they'll walk. There won't be pain. They'll be able to walk in heaven. There will be no crippling diseases there. All will be able to see and hear. So we know that they'll be able to hear in Revelations. And the dead are raised. Guess what? They have eternal life forever. Do you see the logic here? And all people will praise God as the good news. So every nation, every tribe, every tongue will have heard the good news and will have received it in praise. So then I ask the question once again, what does it look like in our day today if it is true what happened yesterday and it's true what will happen forever? What will it look like today? What should it look like? I believe everything that happened yesterday and everything that will happen today or in the future does happen today. I believe that it is possible for someone here today who's blind to receive sight. I believe that someone who's deaf or crippled, I believe that Jesus can do that because he says, we have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer we who live. It's Christ who lives in us. It's the same Christ that was on the earth is now living in us, which is a mystery of God to do the very work that he did in the past and will do in the future can happen here today. I believe that some of that happens in a very literal fashion. I think some of that happens figuratively, but I think God can do that in a literal format and way. I think that today there will be some of you whose hearts, maybe if it's one person, that you will be raised to life from the dead. And the dead just might be that you have blinders on and you've never understood the grace of God, that he loves you so much that he came for you, and today you get it and you realize and God opens your eyes to the understanding that you are loved by an unbelievable God and that he will raise you up and give you new life. That can happen today. I believe that the deaf can hear. And I do believe the dead can be raised. I believe it. I believe that Jesus can do all things. I have seen stories and heard stories in Africa and read all these accounts of a man who was raised from the dead. I've not seen that in our community here. I've not seen that in Oklahoma City. I've not heard of it in Oklahoma City. But I can tell you that two of our very close friends have been with Kelly and I in a wrecked car in Mexico 4 years ago, and some of you remember this story and have heard me say it from here, as I'm laying lifeless, about to die, and I breathed my last breath, and a hurricane in the middle of Cancun, again, hit by a drunk driver,
I can tell you that Jesus heals.
And we have so many witnesses. Most of them are Mexicans. Four Americans who watched Jesus come and save my life. As I actually breathed my last breath, a hand was placed on me. And the hand from Carmel Litz. And she said, Jesus. That's a good first word. Jesus. Give him life. Give him breath. Now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. And after several minutes of not being able to breathe and have been in about 45 minutes of chaos with punctured lungs and severed intestines and completely crushed in a car, Jesus gave me breath. And again, Ryan and Kelly and Carmel, and I can attest to you that Jesus heals today. It does. And I know for a fact, as a testament of that, in faith, that God can do anything he wants, anytime he wants it. And at that moment in time, he confirmed to me, even before the car accident, I love you, and I will be with you in bad times. 20 seconds later, I was hit by a drunk driver. And that was faith, and all the faith that I needed to know that he looked at me just like he looked at that widow and said, I know your pain, and I'm with you. Tons of other stories around that. I'm not going to go into it. But the reality is that for you and me, we've got to fight for the fact that Jesus cares for us so much that he can look directly into our pain and it doesn't scare him. It's not too big for him. It's nothing more than an issue that can be resolved by an unbelievable God who knows your pain, who wants you to be healed, and who can heal you with a simple touch, a simple word, or just a look.
She has a pancreas that's trying to kill her. And she's on medication. She had 95% of her pancreas removed. And she still isn't healed. Can you pray for her? Can you believe with me?
What's her name?
Her name is Anna.
Oh, Lord Jesus. Jesus, please come. Please come. Anna, Lord, please come to Anna. In the name of Jesus, you are so good, Lord. Look on her pain. Look on her life, Lord. And bring her life, Lord. Bring her life. God, heal her pancreas, Lord. Yes, Jesus. In the name of Jesus, heal her pancreas now. You are so good, Lord Jesus. You're full of life, Lord. Bring your life on this little girl. Bring your life on this little girl. Yes.
They want to heal your boo boo. They're asking Jesus to come and heal your boo boo. So you don't have to get those big alleys anymore.
Oh, sweet girl. Yes, Lord. Please come, Jesus. Bring your life, Lord, on this little girl. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Those who just came up, we're gonna stop here a minute and just have some prayer time. So for those who just came up, if you would join me over here on the left. Here's the deal. Living like Jesus today is to be so present in our everyday activities that we would look on Anna and love her and not run past her, not just discard her, but we would be so intimate. Did you know Jesus didn't have a schedule? He didn't just go and have this all these grand plans other than just be with people next to them and touch one person's heart in their life. And that person, that one person, is worth it. And so what we're going to do in a minute is I'm going to ask you just to be a part of that. If you want to meet Jesus on the road, just in wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, what I'd like for you to do is just for a second, just close your eyes, and then Ryan, if you just come on up. Just close your eyes and ask this question. Is he the same yesterday? Is he the same forever? And is he the same today? And do you have the faith like this woman who just walked up here? Who's not embarrassed to walk up here at all, but has so desired for her daughter to receive life that you would not care what anyone thought, but you would come to Jesus in such a way and throw your life down in front of him and say, heal me. Heal my pain, heal my emotional needs, heal my spiritual needs, my physical needs. And then think about this. If he walked up to you right now, what would happen? So picture yourself coming out of this city of Nain. You're walking and you're carrying in your coffin your baggage. And you're walking down this road with your head down. And Jesus is walking straight to you with his head up. And he's walking straight to you with joy and hope and compassion. What will happen? What will happen? Ministry team, if you could put that slide up, Dave. What would happen? The reality is that Jesus is here. Jesus is in the midst of this place today. And that he is ready to walk down the road and meet you. And you walk and meet him. And you know what? You leave the rest up to Jesus. He can do whatever he wants to do. He has the power to do it. But please, please, Bridgeway, come to him on a daily basis with these same pains and needs and desires. Please realize that he is the same. And that it's not about cultural Christianity. It's about the man Jesus. Please get to know him. Please spend time in his word. Dig deeper. Ask hard questions. Pray with each other. Spend time loving each other. And just be present with each other. And I'm saying this to myself as I say it to you. Be present with people. And I have so many grandiose dreams and visions. And when it all boils down to it, I see Jesus walk in and want to love this girl named Anna. And that's his focus. And that's his grand plan, Anna. So, Ryan, let's go ahead and play, start, and then worship team, come on up.